The following program is brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.
CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Every Man an Answer. We're so excited to be here with you this amazing Tuesday that God has blessed us with. There's a lot going on in the world, so many questions that you guys have, and I'm blessed to be able to answer those questions with you, with Pastor Jeff Wickwire today. We are here to answer your questions about the Bible from the Bible, and also the questions that you might have in regards to a political worldview. We look at it all through the lens of Scripture. Sometimes we get confused. We watch things on YouTube or TV or even in our small groups at church, and we wonder, is it even in the Bible at all? Well, we're here to help you through that process. And joining me today, as I said, is Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Jeff, how are you doing this fine day?
Well, you know, I'll give you a good report, Shannon. I have COVID, but it's very, very mild. I don't feel like I have COVID, but I do. So I'm in quarantine, so this is a good thing for me to be able to do, because being in quarantine is very boring.
Oh yeah.
And but anyway, my wife Cindy got it very bad. She was a sick girl. Mm. But I'm certain I probably got it from her, and I just haven't had a bad case at all. I could go ride my bicycle if it wasn't raining outside. So. You know, good report, bad report, or bad report, good report. I've got COVID, but I don't feel bad. So aside from that, a lot of things going on in our country, Shannon. It's crazy.
A lot of things going on in our country and also with Israel. Jeff, we've been getting so many questions and concerns and even phone calls at CSN about all of the airstrikes that are taking place from Hamas. Mm-hmm. And 33 killed in Israel, rocket attacks, and the unrest is spreading beyond Jerusalem, which is what's happening right now. Oddly enough, in the news reports, it says that unfortunately 30 of those 33 were Palestinian and not Israelis. Do you have any information? I mean, have you been seeing and following what's been going on in Israel?
Well, I have. And, it began with some missiles fired from the Gaza Strip into Israel, into Jerusalem, actually. And I know that the latest missiles, they have been trying to hit Tel Aviv, and it's escalating. President Biden is actually being criticized by both parties for the escalation that's taking place, because it doesn't show any sign of turning back or digressing any. It's getting worse. And there are many, many deaths. Unfortunately, a lot of them were children. And, it's that ancient hatred between the Palestinians and the Israelis. And it's now surfacing again. It's been a while since we saw something like this, but now here we go again. And so God's in charge ultimately, but I did read, for instance, that the Israelis' ability to deflect the bombs is being taxed to the max.
Mm-hmm.
And it's grown very intense. And of course, the Bible says this would happen.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible predicts this kind of thing, and it's always going to be happening until a man who looks like the man of peace, but he won't be the man of peace, he'll be the Antichrist, will broker a peace deal between the Palestinians and the Israelis, and will be hailed as a international hero. And I believe that's one way he will step onto the world stage quickly, overnight. And it will give him his, as we would say, street cred, his political cred. And it'll be what so many presidents have tried to do but haven't been able to do. But this guy will do it. We believe he will rise out of Europe. And, you know, this is just another reminder, this ancient hatred and this never-ending conflict, that one day there's going to be a problem solver, but he won't really solve the problem. It'll only do it temporarily. And of course, it'll be during the tribulation period, and we could get into all of that. But that's always what I think about, Shannon, when I see this kind of thing, that this is another reminder that this kind of escalation and this never-ending conflict is going to call onto the stage the Antichrist one day.
Amen to that. It's true, and that's what the Bible says. It's interesting because we do get a lot of questions about Ezekiel 38 and everything happening. We have seen, I think, the stage set for that over this last year, probably more than ever before. We have Russia, who's been strategically placed in Syria, and who is working with Assad, and that is extremely concerning for the Israeli people. And then you have Assad himself, and we know the tragedies and the errors that he's carried out, not only against his own people. You have all of the surrounding nations around Israel, obviously wanting them blown off the face of the earth. And unfortunately now, we don't have a very pro-Israel president in the White House. We want to make sure that we maintain our blessing for supporting and defending Israel. And you're right, when the secretary, the press secretary, Jen, came out and she had this press briefing, the only thing she had to say is, we have serious concerns. But other than that, you know, they should strongly condemn Hamas and the terrorists and any other organization that exploits tensions in Jerusalem or Israel. Nonetheless, you know, that carries out these horrific attacks against innocent civilians, but I doubt that that is going to occur. Needless to say, if you want to be part of the program today, give us a phone call at 8888-ASK-CSN, and Pastor Jeff Wickwire and myself would be happy to make you part of the program. We also have 5 Bibles that are special. They're audio Bibles that we're going to be giving away to the first 5 callers of today's program. So we're excited to be able to bless everybody who calls in, at least the first 5, with those audio Bibles. So if you're interested in one, maybe you have a hard time reading, you're getting a little up there in age, and it would really benefit you, we have that for you as well. But Jeff, let's go to the phones. It seems like we're getting busy here. Let's go to Glenn in Gig Harbor, Washington. Glenn, hi and welcome.
Hi, thanks, guys. Appreciate you guys being available today. I had a primary question, but I wanted to ask Pastor Wickwire, when he refers to the ancient conflict, are the Palestinians related to the Philistines from Keftor, or are they Jordanians that are just influenced by the Islamic push? The ancient, what was the ancient reference? Are they rooted to the ancient conflict of the Philistines?
No, it's not the Philistines. The Palestinians are descended from Ishmael. And, of course, we all know the story that Abraham and Sarah were believing God for the child he had promised. They had received God's promise when Abraham was 75, Sarah was 65, and they waited 25 years for Isaac to finally be born. Now, during that waiting time, we know that Sarah instructed Abraham to have relations with her handmaid, Hagar. And when he did, Ishmael was born. Now, as we read the story, we see that eventually Isaac was born. And it was a total miracle. It was a miracle of God, a kind of an echo of the Immaculate Conception, though. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it was an Immaculate Conception. It wasn't. But in the sense that it was a totally miraculous type conception, in that Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90. Now, the Bible says as Isaac began to grow into a young boy, that Ishmael began to mock him and ridicule him and really harass him. And one day Sarah looked out the window and saw this going on, and it angered her, infuriated her. We remember that she kind of blew her stack and told Abraham, look, I can't do this anymore. You know, flesh can't live with faith in the same house. Ishmael was the child of man's best effort, and Isaac was the child of faith, the child of promise. So Abraham had Hagar and Ishmael leave the home. And of course, when they got out into the wilderness and Hagar was distancing herself from the boy so that she didn't have to hear him die of thirst. God intervened, an angel came, showed them where some water was, and he was spared. But the idea is this: the ancient conflict goes all the way back to that household. And the child of promise conflicting with the child of the flesh. And it's been that way ever since. So the Palestinians are descendants of Ishmael. That's what I am talking about when I say the ancient hatred. It's the ancient conflict. It goes all the way back to trouble in the home of Abraham and Sarah. And so that's what I was referring to, Glenn.
Okay. My primary question was Para Ministries, where they solicit money. Now, I was born again through CSN. Thank God for CNN. I was 26, a biochem student, and believed in evolution, but the Lord convicted me through the Word, heard the story of David and Goliath, and even David and Uriah. And I said, if you're that kind of God that can forgive and that kind of God that can give us strength in battle, I want to know you. And he made himself real. He would answer questions through
pastors
and teachers within the hour. I would just be like, wow, he's listening to me. And
wonderful. Hallelujah.
Yeah, thank God for the ministry. So I'm a part of you guys and a supporter.
Thank you.
For years, I've supported ministries like Prison Fellowship Ministries or Compassion International and even the Fellowship of Christians and Jews. But I have been in conflict with my own conscience about some of these organizations when the CEOs are making six figures, and even though that they do some good, you know, my income's never been that high. It seems like some of them are making multiple six figures a year. One in particular, the Fellowship of Christians and Jews, I know that we're supposed to bless Israel, but you know, when I look at, you know, how that ministry denies any connection or support to any Jews in Israel that are messianic or believe in Jesus, that it concerns me that Christians are being asked to give money to them. I wanted to see if you guys have anything to add or if my concerns are unwarranted.
I have some thoughts, but Jeff, why don't you go first?
Well, first of all, I'm with you in that I think we're living in a day, unfortunately, where many people, particularly in the West, have seen ministry as a way to make some very, very big money. And, you know, you go into the prosperity gospel and the prosperity message, and they, you know, teach and preach that God wants all of us wealthy and healthy and all of these things. And they teach the seed faith. And if you send in 100, God will give you 1,000, or if you send in 100, your runaway child is going to come home or your marriage is going to be healed. I have a lot of issues with that, Glenn, as well, because I think those are primarily fake promises. I think they know when they say them that they aren't true. And I say that because if they really believed it were true, they'd be emptying their own bank account to give to it. And they don't. So there's that aspect of the church world in the West, and I think it's wrong. It really goes all the way back to the Reformation and Johann Tetzel as a representative of the Catholic Church that wanted to build their large cathedrals, and they wanted to know how do we get the money for this, and they taught purgatory, and they taught the poor peasant people of Germany and throughout Europe that if you give your money into this cup, and Tetzel would go from little town to little town with his little tin cup. And he said, as soon as your coins clang into the bottom of this little tin cup, then your loved ones are sprung from purgatory. And so he was selling blessings. And that's was part of the rub. Of course, there was no purgatory. So that was a lie as well. But they were selling blessings from God. And what I see happening in a lot of the church world today is the same thing. It comes under a different guise, but it's the same thing. Send in your money and God will do this and God will do that. And what bothers me is that it takes away from what the blood of Jesus did to bring us into relationship with God, where Jesus paid it all. all to him I owe. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to pay God a red cent to bless me. So there's that. But then we come to CEOs that make not just six figures, but seven figures. They're making millions of dollars. I personally believe that there is a line in the sand. I'm not an accountant where I can tell you what that line in the sand is. But if you're making seven figures off of the gifts of God's people, the tithes of God's people, I personally have an issue with that. I just think now, if you write a book and you sell your book and your book does extremely well, that's your book. And you make some millions of dollars on it, that's your book. I have no issue with that. That's none of my business what you do with that. But when you're, you know, making these promises to God's people and they're sending in their Social Security checks and they don't know how they're going to pay their next bill, and you're walking home with a paycheck that equals a million or more a year, yeah, I have a problem, Glenn. I would be very selective who I gave to, research them, ask the right questions before you give your money away. Shannon?
Yeah, and also, Glenn, there's a couple things I want to add to that. Jeff did such a wonderful job of laying it out. If you research them and you see what they do not support or what they do support, that should also make you have a better understanding of if you want to give your money to them. There's always a rabbit trail that you can go down with certain people or organizations on what they stand for. So there's a lot of Christian organizations out there that take donations and tithe money for helping people. And then what they truly stand for or support is very, very demonic, or BLM and things that are causing divisiveness, and they're Marxist organizations. So you want to be very eyes open when you're going into and donating to any organization like that. I agree with Jeff fully, especially on the premise of, you know what, there's a lot of pastors and preachers and teachers who have very low salaries, but they write a lot of books and they make a lot of money off of those books, and that money personally goes to them. And I don't have a problem with that either. I do think that there's a way that we should live our life, however, and even if you do make a lot of money, I think it's better, especially if you are a pastor or teacher, to live humbly. I tend to pick up issue when, even if you make a lot of money, you're coming to church in a Lamborghini with a, you know, alligator sweaters and a Rolex watch. It doesn't really sit right. And perception does matter, especially when you are the one who's stewarding a church, or you're the shepherd of sheep. I think that we need to be aware of that. But I know a lot of pastors all over the United States who make good incomes, but they do not take from their congregation. And they're constantly giving in more than they're taking. But they're very well known for their books and their DVDs and their CDs and things that they promote to spread the gospel message to people. So I would agree fully. I think there's an issue there, and we need to just be cognizant and aware and do our research and just let the Holy Spirit lead and use discernment, wisdom, and knowledge and understanding when making that decision. Does that help, Glenn?
Very much so. Yeah, no, I know if a pastor is going to write a book and it has an effect, that is being faithful with what he's had. And if it's having an effect and it's blessing the kingdom of God and the saints and strengthening them, and people buy the book, then yeah, I agree with that. But yeah, if people's donations, I'd say maybe 80% of people that donate in, that, you know, you're right, Pastor Jeff, that they are poor. And yeah, that was something I was concerned. So I feel really good for what you shared.
Beware of people who prey on the emotions of those watching and listening. That's usually your key factor to discerning their purpose, right? When they're preying on emotions and issues that strike you deeply emotionally, or deep pains, they're emotionally triggering you to spend money in a way that maybe you wouldn't have before. Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah. And also the whole thing about, you know, okay, it's the day of Pentecost, the feast of Pentecost is coming up. And I'm telling you right now that God is going to bless your giving during that time more than any other time of the year, or the Day of Atonement. And they use these Old Testament Jewish feast times to raise money, promising that there's going to be a special blessing if you give during that time, and so on and so forth. But they totally twist the scriptures there, because Book of Hebrews and other places in the New Testament make it very clear that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross made all of those Old Testament feasts obsolete. Mm. Why would God particularly bless giving during that time when that feast was nothing but a signpost pointing to the arrival of the real thing, Jesus Christ? And when Jesus Christ died on the cross, that's why the veil was rent in half, because God was saying the Old Testament sacrifices and feasts and all of that, it's done, it's obsolete, it is no more. Hebrews says it's passing away. But they will use these kinds of things to make promises to you that are simply not supportable biblically. So you got to watch that stuff, Glenn. Unfortunately, it's out there in spades, and you've got to be smart and you got to know your Bible.
That's right. Glenn, thank you for your call. If you stay on the line, we'll get you some books, CDs, and DVDs, and also that audio Bible for calling in. Thank you so much. Let's go to Amma in, where are we from? Janu. Welcome.
Juno, Arkansas.
Juno, yeah. Hi, can you hear
Alaska.
Me?
Alaska, welcome.
Can yes. you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes.
Okay, great. Well, thank you for taking my call. I have so many questions, but I'll limit it to two. And this first one is kind of two parts. So I'm curious about, I've heard people say that there is no hell and it's not mentioned in the Bible even once. But after listening to CSN for several months, I've heard multiple scriptures where it is said, and by Jesus himself. So my question is, you know, what does the Bible say about hell? And then also, if hell does not exist, then what does happen after we die? Because I've heard, you know, different things there too. We sleep, go to heaven, purgatory.
Go ahead, Jeff. I'll let you take this one.
Yeah, there is a lot of false teaching out there about hell. There's the doctrine of annihilationism, that when you die, there may be a place you go, but you don't last there. Your soul is annihilated and you simply cease to be. Then, of course, there's the false teaching of purgatory. That's never been real, never been true. There is no purgatory. There is no place where you go and pay your sins off and then finally are whisked off to heaven when you have done so. Then there is the teaching of universalism, where since Jesus Christ died on the cross for all men, then all men were retroactively and backwards and forwards forgiven of all of their sins. And therefore, Hitler's going to go to heaven, Stalin's going, Pol Pot's going. Everybody's going because of the sacrifice of Jesus, because God is a God of love and will never send anybody to hell. That's universalism. That's really gained some traction in the last decade or so in America, in the West. All of those are wrong. The Bible teaches that there is a real geographical place called hell. It's a dreadful place. The conditions in hell are described throughout the Bible by different descriptives, different metaphors. It's called eternal fire in Matthew 25:41. Unquenchable fire in Matthew 3:12, shame and everlasting contempt in Daniel 12:2, a place where the fire is never quenched or never goes out, that's in Mark 9, a place of torment and fire, Luke 16, eternal destruction, 2 Thessalonians 1, and I could even read more verses. Jesus taught on hell more than any personality in the entire Bible. So hell is real. Hell is eternal. There is no, it's not like you do a prison sentence and then get sprung. It's hard for me to say this. I have a very hard time wrapping my mind around the concept of suffering that doesn't end. I have to park my faith here. God is a just God. God is a holy God. God is a righteous God and a God of love, but also a God whose holiness requires justice be paid for every sin committed in his universe. And we have a choice. We can either take our sin to the cross of Christ, where the blood of Jesus Christ shed for you and me will wash that sin away, so that when we face God, we are not culpable for our sins, but they have been borne by Christ Jesus, who took on himself the iniquity of us all. Mm. Or you can face God to answer for your own sins. And if you face God to answer for your own sins, bad day at the office, mm-hmm. Very bad day at the office, because you will hear the words. It's hard for me to quote them, but this is what Jesus said. Depart from me, you that work iniquity, I never knew you. And that person will be banished from the presence of the Lord forever. Whatever that means, it's not anything anybody wants to experience.
That's right.
Shannon?
Absolutely. And I'm going to add some colorful conjecture here to that. This whole erroneous view of hell that has been manufactured over the centuries comes from a very satanic principle. Lately, we've been seeing this occult view and these idealistic occult views manifest themselves even in the church, where you do for you what's good for you. Everybody do what thou wilt, which is straight out of the satanic Bible. If it feels good and your truth is your truth, then that's what's true to you. It doesn't have to be true to someone else, because their truth is true to them. This idea that there is no punishment for our behavior, that we're all just walking this earth, doing the best that we can, living our best life, which you hear propagated constantly. It's a very fleshly, demonic view. And this has started creeping into the church, even in occultic ways, in a lot of large churches, even diving into occult practices and Eastern mythologies and bringing in Eastern forms of religion. And so when you're listening to Bible teaching, you want to make sure you're listening to solid, good Bible teaching. You know, anyone we program on CSN is going to be positive as far as their message being correct and having rightly divided scripture. That is very important to know that you can trust who you're listening to. But if you go to these YouTube prophets, or you go and you're listening to these people who even have millions of views on their channels, and they're telling you something anything other than this, or they're even teaching out of extracurricular books like the Book of Enoch or the Book of the 12 Patriarchs or the Book of Noah, and they're adding these things in, you've got to be careful, because this is what gets confusing. Thank you so much for your question. Hopefully that helps. We have a break. We'll come back to you on the other side. If you want to be part of the program, 8888 Ask CSN. We'll be right back.
When this mom ended a bad relationship, she found out she was pregnant. After the father told her to get an abortion, Julia was confused and didn't know what to do or who to talk to.
I just knew that if I got an abortion, a part of me would be broken.
Julia was referred to a preborn center where she was counseled and supported with the strength she needed to choose life.
I couldn't imagine my life without him. Because of them, he's here. We're going to get through it, and it's going to be okay.
Preborn centers provide hope, love, free ultrasounds, and the gospel in action to moms like Julia. Because when an expectant mother sees her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, she is 80% more likely to choose life for her baby. To learn how you can rescue a baby's life, just go to csnradio.com and click on the preborn banner, or call 855-668-BABY. That's 855-668-BABY. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
You're dialed in to the Christian Satellite Network. We're broadcasting on hundreds of stations nationwide, including multiple stations in North and South Carolina. You can listen while in Charleston, Myrtle Beach, Eden, the Winston-Salem area, and many more great cities throughout North and South Carolina. To find your closest station, log online to csnradio.com, and you can listen live 24/7 worldwide. CSN International, where God's word is heard.
Yeah. CSN International, bringing you exciting new music from around the world. So whether it's youth praise and worship or the latest congregational songs, you'll find it on CSN International.
Hi, and welcome back to Every Man an Answer. I'm your host today for Mike Kessler, Shannon Skolton here with Jeff Wickwire. We were just talking to Emma about hell, and is hell, well, even in the Bible at all? Hopefully we answered your question, Emma. Do you have another question you would like to ask before We're
Yes, thank you. I guess my question is about sort of current events, end times, prophecy, and I keep hearing people talk about, you know, how bad things are and they're worried. And I mean, I realize how bad things are, but then I also had this sort of revelation, this moment where I was like, well, this stuff has to happen to fulfill the prophecy of the return of Christ, right? So then what do we do? Should we even be fighting it, or do we just kind of go along with things and mind our own business and try to, you know, try to bring other people into the fold? But
so the entire purpose for all of these things to be revealed to us in Scripture so that we would know the time and the season. We are here on this earth specifically to preach the gospel and to save souls, to further the kingdom of heaven through the power of the Holy Spirit. What ends up happening is we see these things prophetically being fulfilled, and then Christians get either extremely fearful, or they don't know Scripture, and they don't know what to do, and they don't know if they should even fight things that might be tyrannical. And that is more common in the church than you would think. It is important for us to understand that we have a plan and a purpose, and we were not put on this earth to be inappropriately subjugated to not be able to stand up for Christ Jesus. We know that through church history, the more persecution of the church happened, the more the church grew. And during persecution is when people need the gospel and the message and the good news more than ever before. So we don't want to cower down, and we don't want to maybe fight violently if it's not needed by any means. But you do want to stand up for what you believe in, and you want to stand up for Christ, and you want to make sure you're preaching the gospel and you're reaching people and you're operating under the power of the Holy Spirit. But if something happens where the government says to you, hey, you can't pray, you can't preach, you can't teach, you can't congregate anymore, it would be my encouragement to say you still need to congregate. You don't want that power of the devil to be able to separate you from the fellowship with one another where the presence of the Holy Spirit lies. And that's why in places like China and other Asian countries specifically, and even in the Middle East and in Tunisia, there's churches that go underground because they still gather and they still worship and they still pray and they still submit themselves before the mighty right hand of God, not just saying, hey, well, the government said we can't do it, so we might as well not do it. No, they stand up for what's right, always on the side of the word of God and what God has called us to do, preaching the gospel, never allowing it to be silenced. But there is a line, I think, where extremists take it a little too far. And when they don't like certain things that start occurring in our culture, they become the violent ones. They become the aggressors under the name of Jesus Christ in Scripture, which is not biblical. If you disagree with abortion, you should not be out in front of an abortion clinic threatening to blow it up. I think that would definitely not resonate with the message that Jesus gave us, especially in the Gospels. So we need to be discerning to know when that time and period in history happens and tap into the power of the Holy Spirit that He will guide us through what we need to do as we progress in these days. Jeff.
Yeah, Emma, just in a nutshell, you look at the early church. They did not resort to violence, but they didn't sit back either. They literally attacked with the gospel. They went on the offensive. They took the gospel into Jerusalem, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. And we know that later on in the book of Acts, they were accused of being those that had turned the world upside down. Mm-hmm. We know that they mightily affected Jerusalem, and from Jerusalem, the uttermost parts of the earth. And eventually Rome literally collapsed on itself. And Rome had been incredibly influenced by Christianity in the meantime. While Rome remained corrupt and perished under its own corruption, at the very same time, it had been incredibly impacted by the church. So our weapon is the gospel. It is an invisible weapon. It is the weapon of our warfare. You carry that gospel forth, and that's how the church changes the world. So no, we don't sit back, but we do advance in the power and the might of the gospel. That is the power of God unto salvation.
Occupy till He returns. Hopefully that helps.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Stay on the line, Amma. We have some books and DVDs and CDs in that audio Bible for you if you'd like. Thank you for calling in. We're going to go to our next caller, Sharma in Oregon. How are you doing, Sharma?
I'm doing good. Thank you for taking my call.
Great.
I called Shannon specifically because I heard you on the radio. I have an illness that was created due to chemical exposure. And because of that, I've used a lot of alternatives in working with my health issues. Well, today when I was at the doctor getting my shots, my nurse asked me if I have heard of ivermectin. And I don't want to bring up why she asked me that because I don't want to get the radio station in any trouble. But I just was wondering, I kind of figured out if anybody knew anything about it, you would.
Yeah. So we got to be careful. I'm going to kind of talk in code. We had, just to let you know, before we start answering the question, yesterday's program, we had YouTube strikes from yesterday's program on to Every Man and Answers channel, as well as my channel, Voice of Truth, because we decided to talk about some things politically that are happening, as well as some pandemic issues. And so that's why if you're listening or watching, you're not seeing it being streamed on the YouTube platforms. So we apologize for that. But bear with me if you can follow in code a little bit. That way nothing gets struck, hopefully, today. Ivermectin is something that's been around a very long time. It comes in tablets. It comes in a liquid, like a thick, viscous gel. It's been used in cattle, in feed. It's an antiparasitic. It has a lot of other purposes. It could be used for demodectic mange in dogs, again, to intestinal parasites. And it's been FDA approved for those purposes. It is not FDA approved for the use of a pandemic issue that we're dealing with right now in humans. So you don't hear a lot of physicians talking about the use of ivermectin, which would help as far as being in some ways almost responding in the body like an antiviral would, although it's not an antiviral. It has been used and it works in a lot of severe cases. The side effects of it, if not used correctly, can cause serious harm. And so that's why people, it is not recommended by any means to just go out and start medicating yourself. You should always do it under the guise of a doctor who can help you, especially with your condition. And again, we can't give medical advice here over the radio, but you do want to be careful. But it is something that can be looked into for alternative ways of treatment for certain forms of disease, but under the safety of your doctor's supervision. But it is good. It is valid. It does work. It's been around a long time. But it could be toxic in extremely high doses, so you do want to be very careful with it.
Okay, well, I read about it and done some study about it myself, and it's made for horses. So, yes, the dosages for somebody weighs 1,200 pounds.
Yeah.
So that only makes sense.
Yeah, well, and also there are formulas that you can look up online, and, you know, they actually give a human dose for it. But it's nothing that I would recommend you do on your own. Again, it's something your doctor would give you the dose for if indeed is recommending that. But I know that when this whole thing happened, everybody rushed out to the feed store and we're getting vials of ivermectin. And I'm like, oh gosh, you know, you get really toxic. You can have toxicity even in animals. It can cause a lot of toxicity and even can't be used in certain breeds. So just my caution to everybody is when looking at alternative forms of medicine and even using Eastern medicine to help with things, be very cognizant of your body and what you're going through. Always inform your doctor of any if you're on any medications before you just starting to add certain things in. We know there's things that are safe like zinc and vitamin D3 and B12 and B6 and vitamin C and all the other things that we can take to boost our immune system, echinacea, so on. Including going on walks and getting a lot of sun. That's very good for you as long as you don't have skin cancer and there's other issues there and you have protection. But there's ways to help your immune system. It's not the end-all, be-all answer to the question at hand with what we're dealing with as far as the pandemic. So I think it varies person to person. And also keep in mind, it's 99.7% now that you're going to recover from it anyway with your own immune system. So hopefully that helps.
Well, it does. And I appreciate it a lot. And I just wanted to let you know that, you know, I have done alternatives for myself because in 1992, they told me I wouldn't live more than 5 months. And I'm still here, and I have done most of it, or almost all of it, by alternatives. And
praise God.
Like you said, research and doctors and their help also.
But, yes, absolutely. Be very careful. Okay. Thank you for calling in. You stay on the line. We'll get you some information for you in that audio Bible. Let's go to Rod in Clear Lake, California. Rod, hi and welcome.
Hi. I called last week, but this week is more important about the what was mentioned about the Palestinians being descendants from Ishmael. They probably are in like real long elongated kind of situation, but they hold that when Jesus asked the woman at the well why she came to the well and stuff like that, and she said that, you know, are you more powerful than our father Jacob? And see, by technicality, I think the Gibeonites, when the children of Israel come back from Egypt, then the Gibeonites were smart, and what they did was pretend to be along from a long ways away, and Joshua didn't bother checking by going to the Holy Spirit and asking him if these guys are really Canaanites or whether they were Ishmaelites or anything else. But he didn't bother checking. He just went and said, okay, you guys want to be our slaves, you can be water carriers for us, and we'll own your nation mm-hmm. as well down the road when we get to it. Point is, I think the Palestinians are more because in the Unger's Bible Handbook, they had a picture of a Samaritan person that was still in the Samaritan belief. And when Christians first became Christians, a lot of those were the people that came out of Jesus's going through Samaria and the demonic guy that went to the 10 cities and all these people were technically the Samaritans more than they were like Palestinians. The descendants from Ishmael technically are 12 tribes all through the entire Arab world. And so if you say the Palestinians are through the entire Arab world, then you technically are saying that the Palestinians have equal rights over the entire giving of Abraham's covenant to Abraham. And you can't really say that they're the little area where Gibeon was, and they made a deal, and God had to go by it because Joshua acted.
Let me jump in here just for a second, Rod, because I don't want to. Let me just encapsulate what you're saying. I hear you. However, the Palestinians are descendants of Ishmael. Now, there may be some descended from Lot, but it all still flows from Abraham. And so, yes, they are descendants of Abraham, but then more so because of Abraham having relations with Hagar and Ishmael being born, the father of the Palestinians is Ishmael, technically and ultimately. So I hear you, but the scriptures were clear that the promise was made to Isaac and his offspring. The land promise in Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 3, the land promise and the other promises found therein were made to the child of promise. And that's why when Abraham cried out to God and said, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. In other words, please, Lord, don't make me wait anymore. Let Ishmael suffice. God said, no, but you will have a child from your own, from Sarah, from your marriage to Sarah. That will be the child of promise, Isaac. And in Isaac shall your seed be blessed. So that's where it all comes from. And I know where you're going, but I think we got to go back to the original roots, and those are the original roots.
Absolutely. In the whole context of Scripture, Rod, we want to make sure, especially when talking about genealogies and where people have settled, that you look at every little jot and tittle in the Bible so that nothing is misplaced or misconstrued. A lot of people also believe that the Palestinians are Philistines. And so there's conjecture in that regard, too. But hopefully that settles it and answers your question, Rod.
Well, my point was that since Palestine isn't the entire area given to Abraham in the first place, that the giant Israel that was promised the land from the Euphrates River on does include that entire area. But the point that the Gibeonites were, well, the Samaritans made claim that Jacob was their father, and they went to Jacob's well, and that's where they worshiped. And the point was, when Jesus went to the world to bring in the world to trust, he went to the Samaritans first and made the Jews.
I think also, though, Rod, all of that, as Pastor Jeff is saying, is not necessarily that it's irrelevant. We can see where you're going with it. But when you want to get back again to genealogies and roots, you want to start from the beginning. And that's where we were coming from the point with, especially in regards to ancient conflicts. So we appreciate your conjecture and your viewpoint on that. But I think that Pastor Jeff made it extremely clear. But if you stay on the line, we'll get you some DVDs and CDs and things, and maybe answer your question off the air for you a little bit more if you have some more to say about that. We're going to go ahead and go to our next caller, which is Joseph in Lancaster, California. Joseph, hi and welcome.
Hello, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
All right. But I got some, I need a prayer request for my girlfriend. She just found out she got cancer in the throat.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I like special prayer for.
Mm. Yes, we'll pray for her. Jeff, why don't you lead us in some prayer? What's her name, Joseph?
Janet Almond.
Okay.
Jen?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Lord, we just come to you with Jen. Lord, you know exactly what she's facing. And Lord, this is an overwhelming diagnosis, very difficult. We know she's probably battling fear and some dismay. Lord, we just pray for the peace of God, for the healing of God. Lord, you alone are the ultimate healer. And Lord, we thank you that you went about everywhere doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And we ask you to heal Jen, touch her, give her your peace that passes all understanding. Thank you for giving her doctors great wisdom and guidance and the very, very best advice. And we commit this into your hands and pray your peace on Joseph as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Joseph, for calling.
Joseph, we will keep her in prayer for sure, and we would love for you to give us an update and a praise report later on, okay?
Okay, will I get a CD?
Yeah, we'll get you squared up downstairs with some CDs, DVDs, and information for you, and hopefully we have one of those Bibles for you left off, the audio Bible as well, okay?
I tried to donate. And I can't write quick because I got tremors. But I asked them to send me a number before I can dial it, you know, but they never do.
Okay, so if you talk to the boys downstairs when I'm done with you on the radio, they'll go ahead and get you that number, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Joseph. Thank you for your donation as well. We appreciate it. Let's go to Dennis in Plymouth, Massachusetts. Dennis.
Yes, this is Denise.
Denise.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm in my early 50s, and I was raised Roman Catholic and didn't know anything about the Bible, but went to Mass every Sunday, and I read the Bible. I asked God, being in the Roman Catholic, I did get into New Age and yoga, and I kept on asking God, show me the truth. So I was been born again about for 2 years, and between CNN, listening to that, and reading my Bible every day, I really pray every day. My family's not saved, and back in February, my adult daughter came, and I pray every day that they're saved. And I pray for she's in her 20s, late 20s, and she works in like the social justice movement, you know, mm-hmm. her job. Mm-hmm. She told me that mm-hmm. she's a lesbian and she's going to get married. And She's been cutting me off because I was trying to speak the truth and love to her. And yesterday I was dropping off some laundry for her because she did come for Mother's Day. But I said to her, I was begging her, don't cut me off, that I love her, but I can't go to the wedding and I can't accept it, but I love her more than she would ever, than she would ever know. And no one in my family saved. And they all tell me I'm abandoning her and I'm a mean mother and that I'm going to lose my daughter if I don't go to the wedding and I don't accept her being a lesbian.
Jeff, your thoughts?
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you, Denise. And first of all, my heart goes out to you. This is the day we live in. Many families are being faced with this, especially after the Supreme Court decision on marriage, really basically validating same-sex marriage, which, of course, goes full in the face of Scripture. There's many things we could say about this, but what we really need to address is what you're faced with personally, because you're caught between what I would call a rock and a hard place instead of a hard place. It's a hard place. The rock is God's truth. The hard place is your love for your daughter. I've had church members come to me and say, you know, my child is going to be involved in a same-sex union. Do I go to the wedding? Do I not? You know, there's not a verse that I can quote that tells you whether or not to go to a wedding like that. First of all, for me, it's not a real wedding. Now, I'm probably going to get some real blowback on this, but in the real scriptural, if you're looking at it biblically, the Bible is clear. Marriage is between a man and a woman, male and female, created he them. God never designed marriage to be between same sex. He just didn't. We live in a day of merging genders. There's now, we're told, over 100 genders to pick from, which is insane. So you're faced with an incredibly difficult decision, Denise, and if it were me, now all I can say is if it's me and where my convictions on Scripture stand, I couldn't go because I would feel like I was placing my seal of approval on something that I feel is very, very wrong in God's eyes. And that's my right. It's my right of conscience. And my conscience, as much as lies within me, is dictated by Scripture. Okay. But at the same time, how do you love them? Because they take that as a major rejection. You know, Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword. I came to put father against daughter, father against son, and mother against daughter. And, you know, Jesus made it clear that taking a stand for him within a family unit was often going to cause ostracism, misunderstanding, hard feelings, difficulty. We know that when a Jewish person, an Orthodox Jewish person, comes to Christ, they usually lose their family. So this is a really hard decision, Denise. I would have to fall on the side of Scripture and let my daughter know I love you with all of my heart, but my conscience won't let me place my seal of approval on this ceremony. And you're going to have to believe that I love you no matter what, but I can't go there. And now that's where I would go. Mm. But you're going to have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling there. Shannon?
Yeah, you know, Denise, I suffer with this personally myself, not a child of mine that is marrying into a homosexual relationship, but I have a brother who is homosexual, who is with somebody, and he was born and raised in the church and loved the Lord and has strayed away. And I had to make some hard decisions in my life as well that I didn't want that around my son, my young, impressionable 8-year-old boy. And it's painful. And it doesn't mean you don't love that person. And actually, the most important thing that you can do for your daughter is pray and fast for her. There's nothing you're going to be able to interject or intercede or put into her life right now that she might listen to. because the world is saying something completely different. But your prayer and your fervent prayer and you humbling yourself before God and fasting for her and being unrelenting in that prayer is the most important thing that you can do. And my heart goes out to you as well, knowing how painful it is, but know that you have to abide by your conscience and what the Holy Spirit says to you and what the Word of God says. So Denise, hopefully that helps. I wish we had more time to be with you and counsel you a little bit more, but we will be back tomorrow for another fun-filled adventure at To Every Man an Answer. We'll see what the world has to bring us. Jeff, thank you so much for being on with me, and we'll have some fun
tomorrow
as well. Until next time, everybody, good night.
Night.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.
The preceding program was brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.